This morning, I want to title of the message is Fear Not. And throughout the Bible, the Lord has used two very impressive, reassuring words. He spoke them with much love, care, and compassion. Much love, much care. These two words have brought us much comfort and have eased and delivered our hearts and our minds many times. Coming from the mouth of the Lord, they are very encouraging and powerful words, and these two words are fear not. You may know it also as don't worry. If someone comes up to you and tells you, you tell someone the problem, you confide in someone a problem that you're having, and they tell you, don't worry. Someone you could trust tells you, don't worry. It will be okay. You feel encouraged. You feel somewhat at ease. Well, the Lord tells us, and he's telling us this morning, fear not. Don't worry. Can we trust him? Yes. If he says those words, you can believe it. The comforting command of fear not appears in the Bible many times, Old and New Testament, slightly over 100 times. Imagine that. I think the exact number is 103 times the words fear not appear in the Bible. Sometimes it may be under the phrase do not be afraid, do not worry, but the command, the encouragement is still there. This morning I would like to discuss the different times and settings in which the Lord said, fear not. And with his help, I would also like to speak about why he said, fear not. So if you could turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 and verses 25 to 34. Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 25 to 34. Beginning at verse 25. For this reason, this was part of Jesus' sermon on the mount. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried, there it goes again, about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not the life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say unto you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Isn't that the truth? But the Lord will always take care of our needs, and he's proven it to us time and time again. Food, water, and clothing are considered basic needs. God will always supply them. Typically, we don't worry about food and clothing in this country Well, some people do have to worry about it. Things are changing. But there is, we don't worry about food or clothing. A lot of people in this country don't have to worry about it. But there is still instability in today's economy, unfortunately. But for those of us who know the Lord, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He will never abandon us, and he tells us, fear not. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And Al, he's saying that to you this morning. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Luke chapter 12, verses 6 and 7 state, are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Again, the Lord is using those words. Do not fear. If God doesn't forget one little sparrow, I'm sure he's not going to forget us. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15 tells us, I will not forget you. And if God said that, you can believe it. I will not forget you. This is another reason why the Lord says, fear not, because he tells you, I will not forget you. God watches over and cares for the birds of the birds and feeds them. And God uses us to feed the birds. You know, about a month and a half or so, it's going to be springtime, and we're going to plant or reseed our lawns, and all the birds are going to be happy. We're going to put down the bird seed, and we'll be fulfilling what God said. He feeds the birds, and he uses us to do it. The Lord takes care of his creation, including what we may consider lesser forms of creation, but God takes care of them. God takes care of every animal. If God takes care of every animal, and he does, why wouldn't he take care of us? He always supplies all our needs and tells us, fear not, over 100 times in the Bible. And verse 27 of Matthew 6 says, and who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? Worry cannot add to your life, but certainly can shorten it. Someone once said, all your worries are not worth a loaf of bread. Jesus knows that we get worried, upset, and anxious. And in our doubts, he tells us, fear not. Philippians chapter 6 tells us, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. This should be a sign, you know, a big sign on the highways, on the roads, be anxious for nothing. I bet you the rate of accidents will go down about 80% at least. You know how they have big signs like you see them now, different signs like even driving through Carney Meadows. Some of you may have seen it. They put up signs, you know, about obeying the law and things like that. You see signs on the parkway about obeying the law and so forth. Well, if they put up one that said, be anxious for nothing, with the Bible verse, which they never would, but if they did, how many less accidents would occur? How many accidents occur by anxiety? The person in front of me is driving too slow. I have to pass them. Or you're speeding because you want to get to your destination on time. And Jesus is saying, be anxious for nothing. And is it worth the accident? And Jesus tells us, be anxious for nothing. How many less accidents there would be on the road if we followed these words? Even regarding the end times that we are living in, Jesus said, see that you are not frightened or troubled. We're living in end times. Just watch the news, which I'm sure you do. You know we're in end times. The signs of Matthew 24 are being fulfilled. And what did Jesus say? He said, do not be, see that you are not frightened or troubled. That's Matthew chapter 24, verse 6. As bad as times are, they're bad. And because we know Jesus, we could take these words to heart, where Jesus says, be not, see that you are not frightened or troubled. And think of it this way. Every event that occurs is one event closer to the rapture, going with the Lord in heaven. I don't have a problem with that, and I don't think you do either. Statistically, 80% of what we worry about never comes to pass. I want to repeat that because it's so important. 80% of what we worry about never comes to pass. And Jesus keeps telling us, fear not. God allows a flower to open for a day or so, and then the heat of the sun dries it up and it withers. Yet for a day or two, the Lord gives the flower its beauty. God gives beauty even to a wild flower that no one's caring for. God cares for it. If he's caring for a flower, he's caring for you too. If God is concerned for what we may consider an insignificant flower, why wouldn't he be concerned for us? Think of that. And he tells us, fear not. The people that don't know the Lord may worry. And the Lord may be telling us, you worry as if you don't know me. But we know the Lord, so we don't have to worry. I'm going to read, I would appreciate if you would turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40, and we're going to read verses 28 to 31. Those of you online, Isaiah chapter 40, and verses 28 to 31. I'll give you a moment to get there. Very important, so I want you to follow along with me. Now we're going to read in verse 27. We'll start with verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? Now I'm going to stop there for a minute. Mentions Jacob, mentions Israel. Jacob refers to the fact that we are God's creation. Why do you say, O Jacob, we are God's creation? And complain, O Israel. Israel represents the conversion. In other words, the Lord was speaking to those of us who know him. When he said, O Israel, he's talking to us, those of us who know him. My way is hidden from the Lord, and my cause is disregarded by my God. Have you not known, have you not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not faint, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Who could know and understand the mind of God? He gives power to the faint. How many times do you feel I can't go on anymore with a certain situation? He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And in the next chapter, Isaiah 41, verse 10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He is our almighty, most loving, most faithful Heavenly Father, who is the wisdom of the ages. So you're not going to stump him with your condition. He's the wisdom of the ages. Isaiah 40, verse 25. To whom then will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? No one is even on the same scale as God. He knows our needs before they occur. And when you get down to pray, he knows what you're going to say before you pray. But he wants to hear from you anyway. If he says, fear not, then we have nothing to fear because he will take care of every problem, even if it is a crisis. We want to remember that Jesus is known as the Christ of every crisis. We sing the chorus. He's the Christ of every crisis. He is just the same today. He will solve your every problem if you only let him have his way. These aren't just nice, real encouraging words. God has shown us already. He will solve our every problem. Just let him do what he has to do. Don't interfere. We don't have to worry about whether or not the Lord has an answer to our problems, because it's impossible to stump him. It's impossible. Whatever we bring to him, he's greater. If we place the Lord first in our lives, seeking his will and his righteousness, he will give us all that we need. There's a saying, put God in the center and everything else will come together. Put God in the center and everything else will come together. Verse 34, do not worry or fear about tomorrow. We don't have to worry about tomorrow because the way he took care of us in the past, he will take care of us in the future. Jesus is never going to change. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 tells us Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to read to you the prayer of St. Francis de Sales. The prayer is, be at peace. Do not look forward in fear to the changes of life. Rather, look to them with full hope as they arise. God, whose very own you are, will deliver you out of them. He has kept you hitherto, and he will lead you safely through all things. And when you cannot stand it, and we've all been there, and when you cannot stand it, God will bury you in his arms. Do not fear what may happen tomorrow. The same everlasting Father who cares for you today will take care of you then and every day. He will either shield you from suffering or will give you unfailing strength to bear it. Be at peace and put aside all anxious thoughts and imagination. When Jesus walked on the Sea of Galilee to reach the disciples, they thought they had seen a ghost and cried out in fear. What was Jesus' response? Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. Or in other words, do not fear. And Jesus walked on the water. He walks. You know what that represents? He walks on what we fear. All our troubles are under his feet. You know, the rough sea represents troubles in our lives. So Jesus walking on the water tells us he is in control of whatever trouble we're going through. It's under his precious feet. He walks on what we fear. That is why we could believe him when he says, fear not. Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 3, I'll read it to you. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel. Again, O Israel, those of us who know the Lord, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. The Lord redeemed us. He was the ransom for our souls. He bought us with his blood. You are mine, he said in these verses. We belong to him. Do you take care of what belongs to you? You sure do. If you have a prized possession, you take care of it. Well, and you know what? We all, each one of us, are God's prized possession. So you can be sure he's going to take care of us. And this Almighty God, who's going to take care of us, tells us, fear not. The Lord summoned or called us by name in these verses in Isaiah 43. The Lord summoned or called us by name, meaning that he knows us better than we know ourselves. Now, we think we know ourselves. God knows us better. And he tells us, fear not. Even in the face of death, when Jairus' daughter died, Jesus told them, be not afraid or fear not. Only believe. Even in the face of death, Jesus says, fear not. Only believe. No situation is too extreme for Jesus. He's never at a loss for remedies, never. He's never at a loss for power. And he said so. Matthew 28, verse 18. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. When he wants to heal or even raise the dead, he doesn't consult a medical text. You know, it's like when you come before the Lord someone says, suppose someone comes before the Lord, has a problem with the kidneys. You're not going to find Jesus with a medical text. Let me look under R for renal failure. He doesn't need a medical text. He's all wisdom. He's all power. He doesn't need to have a conference with top-notch physicians or doctors or scientists. He doesn't have to consult the medical text, as we said, because he is the great physician. He doesn't have to talk to doctors or superior scientists. He is the great physician. They can learn from him. And he tells us, fear not. What are some of the reasons why the Lord tells us, fear not? What do we find in the Bible about the qualities and the personality of the Lord? Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17. Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. The vastness of billions of light years of outer space is known as God's handiwork. It's also known as his backyard. Nothing is too hard for him. As we said in previous messages, but good to bring it out again, the universe is believed to extend 15 billion light years from the Earth. It's a light year, the distance light could travel in 1 year. Well, look at it this way. Light could go from here to the moon. The moon's about 238,000 miles away. Light could go from here to the moon in about 1 1/3 seconds. How far could it go in a minute? How far could it go in a day? How far could light go in a year? How far could light go in 15 billion years? But that's just God's backyard. But this is the God that tells us, fear not. Psalm 89, verse 13. You have a mighty arm, strong is your hand. We, his children, are held in those mighty arms, and he tells us, fear not. When we go to God with requests, nothing is too difficult for him. as we said, he does not have to consult anyone or any reference text in order to answer our prayers. We are safe in the arms of the Lord. Deuteronomy, it's up on the screen. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 27. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Eternally strong, mighty, loving, compassionate arms that will never fail. We can always lean on those infinite, everlasting arms and trust him. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. God rules. He is sovereign and reports to no one. Isaiah 43, verses 11 to 13, tells us, I, even I, am the Lord, and there is no Savior beside me, and I am God, even from eternity, I am he. And he is the one who tells us, fear not. The Lord is always in control, even if it doesn't appear that way here on earth. The Lord is always in control. Now I have something over here, a saying. It says, my child, trust me. I have everything under control. Signed, Jesus. So I'm going to do, Raphael, would you mind passing these out, one to each person? Thank you. Take some for your group also. While Raphael is passing that out, I want to repeat that. My child, trust me. And you'll see that trust me is underlined. I have everything under control. Signed, Jesus. Makes a nice bookmarker for you. I don't know if those online could see it. I'll put it up close. There it is. God will always be... Thank you, Raphael. God will always be on his throne, and he shares it with no one. Revelation chapter 19, verse 6 says, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And he's in control. No one on this earth is in control. Even though the heads of state of different countries may think that they wield power, they're not in control. In reality, they are pawns on God's chessboard. He's in control. In John chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus informed us that we are in his hands. In the same hands that created the universe, in the same hands that hold stars, we are held in the mighty hands of Jesus, and he tells us, fear not. When we are burdened and weighed down with care and worry, Jesus can tell us, fear not, because his hands lift our burdens. When all our surroundings seem dark and we can't even see our next step, and it could get that way, Jesus tells us, fear not, because darkness can't hide us from the ever-watchful eyes of Jesus. His loving hand will guide us from the night into the day. I'll close with Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.